Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you once again with bells on. I don't know what that means. What does it mean with bells on? If you don't have bells, is that not good? I don't know. Never mind. That's just not important now, because it is time for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and as you know, every week we come to you with stuff. Yes, this week we have stuff. We have lots of stuff because this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Blah, 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 blah. My tongue just got way ahead of myself there. And it's episode number 61. That's what I was trying to get to, is 61. You just don't know sometimes how hard it is to say 61. Well, anyway, November the 4th, a Saturday, and a good day to be techie. Yes, indeed. Now, when we left off in our last episode, we were doing techie stuff. And, of course, that's what we always do on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, so there's no real surprise there. And, of course, we are members of the Tech Podcast Network, lest you forget. And we like to cross-promote. You know what it means to cross-promote? That's one of those fancy terms that simply means that we like to play each other's promos. And so here's a promo for the Root Smart Podcast.
Do you have more than one operating system at home? Or do you have a Windows box and you really want to get Linux running? Maybe you're thinking of coming over to the light side and want to try your hand at OS X. Well, we have the perfect podcast for you. It's called the RootSmart.com Tech Podcast, and you can find it at RootSmart.com. It's that easy. We cover Windows, Linux, and Mac. With how-tos, tips and tricks, and interviews with leaders in the tech world, what more could you want?
What indeed? Well, actually, I can think of a few things you won't like Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, but, you know, hey, we're cross-promoting here, and that was the RootSmart Podcast. So there you go. Now, every week we like to share with you, well, at least most every week, we like to share with you some geek culture. And this week, the geek culture is strange indeed. How many of you remember the song You're Beautiful by James Blunt? Some of you went, oh, man, yeah, what a song. Well, anyway, somebody did a parody of that song. Lyrics by Morning Sidekick, performed by Jim Britton. And it's called My Cubicle. Now, I want you to listen to this song for our geek culture. Picture yourself at the typical cubicle farm at any typical business. Now, I happen to work in a cubicle. And, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, it's a cubicle. What can you say? It's 6x6. It's, you got a computer. There you go. But some people just can't deal with the cubicle-ness of cubicles, and they go real Dilbert on us, okay? So, for those folks, here's your song.
My job is stupid. My days are bored. Inside this office, from 8 till 4, well, nothing ever happens. My life is pretty bland. Pretending that I'm working, pray I don't get canned. My cubicle, my cubicle, it's one of 62. It's my small space in a crowded, just a 6x6 board booth, and I hate it, that's the truth. Well, I give a sigh as the boss walks by. No one ever talks to me or looks me in the eye, and I'm really shook. Surf the internet. Sometimes I sit here nude.
Right. Somehow I don't think so. Never been tempted to do that, actually, in my cubicle, so I can't really identify there. However, it does express the frustration of being a nameless worker drone in the great enterprises of our day. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to the news items this week that we blogged about on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which, by the way, you can go to if you go to www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And if you'll go there, you will be able to read every day the things that I blog about that I personally find interesting in internet culture, geekiness, and other strange and furry things. There you go. Now, also, we like to offer each week Geek Software of the Week. I actually had so many things this week that I'm stocked for a couple of weeks on Geek Software of the Week. So I've got some things I want to share with you, but this one was really cool. As a Linux geek, have you ever been working with Windows and thought, dude, man, I wish that Windows had rsync, you know? Okay, maybe not many of you have thought that, I don't know, but I did. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, if Windows just had rsync, where I could do backups on a bit level basis so that only the part of the file that changed was actually transmitted and it was neat and efficient and it would actually keep my backup directory in sync with my live directory, then that would be really awesome. Because you can do that with Linux and it's real easy and real cool and works very well. And if you make a cron job that will kick off rsync and actually back up a directory, then you've got disk-to-disk backups based on rsync, which is really cool. I can tell you're thrilled by this information. Anyway, you can do it with Windows. Yes, you can, because there is a Windowsy, that's an interesting word, isn't it? A Windowsy version of rsync available called Delta Copy. This guy wrote Delta Copy as an rsync for Windows, and it's very Windowsy. It gives you a Windows interface. It allows you to designate which directory you want to back up, and it allows you to set up a schedule using Windows Scheduler, and it's very cool. So I would encourage you to check it out. I've already set it up at home on my Windows box. I have one Windows box and a whole sea of Linux servers. You say, Dr. Bill, why would you have a Windows box at all? A good question, actually. The answer being that Windows Media Player wants Windows to run the Windows Media server, streaming server, which comes as part of Windows 2003 server. And so, in order to run Windows Streaming Media Server on Windows 2003, you have to be running Windows 2003. Duh. So, there you go. And because of that, I said, well, you know, I want to back up stuff on that server too, and I'd like to use rsync like the rest of my servers do, and lo and behold, here's Delta Copy to save the day. Gotta love it. So there you go. Go check it out. You can click on the link in the blog for Delta Copy, and it will take you to the page that describes it and place where you can download it. And of course, it is open source, and it is free. Gotta love that. All right, OpenBSD 4.0 has been released. Now, you may say, what is OpenBSD? Well, BSD, of course, is the Berkeley version of Unix, and it was developed many, many years ago. And OpenBSD is the open source version of BSD Unix. You know, it's interesting how when I go back and into the blog and I do the podcast that I find all these cute little mistakes that I've made. I have the headline as OpenBDS. Guess what? There is no OpenBDS. It's BSD. Whoa. Okay, so I made a mistake. The doctor's not perfect. What are you going to do? But through the wonders of computers, I can correct the mistake just that quickly. And now if you go to look at the headline after I have done the podcast, you will say, it looks fine to me. That's because I just fixed it while I was talking. I can multitask just like a computer. Anyway, the point is that OpenBSD, you see, has been updated, and there is a new version, and it is version 4. That's what I was trying to say. Now, it has improved hardware support. It has OpenRCS. It has OpenSSH version 4.4. Greatly improved IPsec and many other fixes and enhancements. And if you've never tried it, go check it out. Give it a shot, because I am told that it is an excellent server operating system. You say, Dr. Bill, you're told that? You don't use it? No, I use CentOS Enterprise Linux. And I just prefer that. That's just me. I like working with it because I know it, and it's, you know, handy. So, but I'm told that OpenBSD is good. So, go check it out. Maybe you'll like it better than Linux. I don't know. Next item, Windows Media Player 11 is out. I can hear the crickets chirping there in the background. Nobody seems to care. Well, here's the thing. You know me, I'm not a big Microsoft fan. That's probably an understatement. However, I gotta admit, Windows Media Player is pretty nice. Yeah, it's got some nice features. And as I pointed out, I do have a Windows Media Server, streaming server. And so therefore, I am interested in developments in Windows Media Player. And so I was kind of, you know, not excited, but interested when they came out with the final release of version 11. Now, it's been in beta for a long time, but version 11 is out. A lot of the features and enhancements and so forth of it are, shall we say, questionable, because DRM, Digital Rights Management, is one of the things they've added in there in a big way. I'm not real thrilled about that. However, it is a very clean, functional media player, and it actually looks pretty good when you play it and works well. So it's out. Go download it. I think you'll like it. Plus, it has skins and visualizations, and it's worthwhile. So go check it out. Also, as you're looking at the blog, you'll notice there's a header there with a turkey. Actually, a very bored-looking turkey. But at any rate, this is, of course, courtesy of our favorite geeky, strange, and wonderful graphics guru, Scott Redman, who is the Guilford County webmaster, took over from the doctor when I left the county and he became the webmaster. So he is, he's kind of like, Obi-Wan, you know, and he's Obi-Wan, and I'm Qui-Gon, you know, training him up, never mind. Kind of lame. But anyway, here's the thing. It's a pretty cool header. He does really amazing things with graphics. You ought to check it out. And I can't wait until Christmas to do the Christmas one, because it's awesome. He did me a Christmas header, and it's got a Santa Claus that's leaning back with sunglasses on, and he's got attitude, and I love it. I think it's very cool. But I like the Thanksgiving one as well. Kind of neat. So, thank you, Scott. And you can find more of his work at the Guilford County website. Go check that out. And he also has he does logos. I mean, this guy is like multi-talented. Plus, he's got a really kicking computer that he uses to design all this stuff. It really rocks. So, Scott, way to go. All right, here's an item that I never thought I would see. Absolutely never thought I would see it. Steve Ballmer and Microsoft have been anti-Linux for years and years and years. They've called it everything from a commie plot to, I don't know. It's been ugly. This week, Steve Ballmer got up and announced that Novell and Microsoft were going to work together to make Windows and Linux more interoperable. My headline is, Hell Freezes Over Microsoft Works with Linux. Pretty much the headline says it right there, because who would have thought this ever would have happened? Now, in an interview, or not an interview, I guess, a press conference that they called, they announced this, and one of the reporters was so incredulous, he just kind of went, what does this mean? You could almost hear him say, oh, the humanity, what does it all mean? And so Steve Ballmer explained. He says, look, two things, I'll make it real simple. Number one, Novell and Microsoft are going to work together technically to help the Windows world and the Linux world interoperate. Number two, we've struck a deal under which we can provide patent agreements to Linux customers in which Microsoft's intellectual property is respected, and we are appropriately compensated for the use of our intellectual property. And we've done both of those things in a way that we think still allows the open source development community to actively pursue what it's been doing on behalf of everybody for the last several years. Wow. This is the guy who openly said that Linux was evil. I think the handwriting is somewhat on the wall here. I think that the tide is beginning to turn and open source is making inroads, yes, even at Microsoft. Da-da-dum. Okay, last item. I blogged late last night and I posted it to dig.com just to see if I'd get any reaction. Interesting, huh? This entry, I've decided I think I'll just read the whole blog entry just so you'll get the whole flavor of it, okay? The headline is, Are Dig.com Users Mostly Liberal? Okay? And here's what I said. I love Dig.com for its up-to-the-minute tech news, and I've been with them as an active digger since the beginning. But as I watch the digs coming in tonight, I find myself wondering, are the majority of Dig users liberal? I've noticed that as we get closer to the 2006 midterm elections, the liberal posts are up on Dig, and the digs agreeing with them seem to be mounting. My guess is that this is designed by liberal diggers to motivate the base just before elections. But are all diggers liberal? Well, no, I'm not. And as I say, I've been digging since the beginning of Dig.com. But I find the phenomenon interesting. Everyone has a right to speak out and express their opinions, but I suspect that if I post this to Dig, I probably will, just as an experiment, I'm sure I will be flamed mercilessly. Ah, c'est la vie. My two cents. Since 9/11/2001, we haven't had another major terrorist attack. The economy is looking really good, but the Republicans don't seem to get any credit for either situation, but they are getting plenty of blame. From a digger that is a registered Republican, hang in there, fellow conservatives, and everyone go out and vote no matter who you are for. Let's exercise our rights as citizens to elect our representatives. See you at the polls on Tuesday. That's what I blogged, and I posted it to Dig, and actually, I was very impressed. I expected I was going to get flamed and torn down, and people were going to say I should be shipped out of the country on a rail and just all kinds of horrendous things. And guess what? There wasn't a whole lot of negative reaction. I mean, you know, you had some, but it was civil and it was, you know, it was calm and it was very fairly moderated, you know. Not that there are moderators on Dig, obviously, but it was a moderate approach to the blog entry that I posted. So, not too bad. I'm pretty impressed. So, I thought what might be fun is to actually read to you some of the, you know, the things that right now, obviously I just posted it late last night, so there may be more, and the people who respond may get really nasty, you know. between now and the time you were to go to Dig and read it, but here's some of the responses that have come out since I blogged this. Here's a guy that says, well, I think the question is a bit loaded. I've seen a lot of posts which simply criticize the administration's foreign policy and it's deemed liberal. I feel this is an error. As a conservative, I have a keen interest in fiscal responsibility. Iraq is a debacle in two respects. It's backfired in achieving its objectives. It's wasted a monumental amount of money. The things that the White House and Republicans have done to remain in power disgust me. I am a supporter of trickle-down economics, and I support the Bush tax cuts wholeheartedly. But after that, there are very few Bush-endorsed activities I can get behind. It is ironic that when folks like me criticize these outright failures, we're branded as bleeding heart liberals. That's hard to say. Bleeding heart liberals. Most of my life, I've supported Republicans and opposed Democratic policies, but now it seems it's tough to honestly evaluate a party's activities without being labeled a traitor. Now, you know, I don't agree with everything he said there, but it was reasoned and it was well stated. And so, hey, not bad. All right, next item. DIG is inherently democratic. So would that tend to attract liberals or conservatives? I would have to admit that DIG seems to lean liberal, but I've also seen areas where DIG is open to healthy debate. I think we also have to account for the current political environment, which is frustrated with the results of conservative actions, or at least only diehard conservatives seem satisfied. Again, guy wrote it, very calm, very rational, very interesting. You know, we have some comments that are brief. You know, here's a guy that says, I don't know about anyone else, but I am, meaning that he's liberal. Okay. But again, no flames. Hey, not bad. So, you know, I'm looking at some of the others here that are just kind of, some of them are not quite, shall we say, mature. But most of them are fairly, as I point out, reasoned and well thought out. I posted here a little comment to my own entry that says, I gotta admit, I'm impressed, guys. No major flames. That my post was evil, etc. Just fairly common reasoned responses. I'm truly impressed. Good comments. So, overall, not a bad little experiment in political free speech. Pretty cool. So, DIG once again comes out looking pretty good. Not that there aren't some posts on there that I think are completely off the wall, but overall, not too bad. Not too bad. So, anyway, hope you found that somewhat interesting. I will say this, as I said in my blog entry, please go out and vote on Tuesday. Don't let people just sit home and go, oh, well, you know, my thoughts don't count. I'm not going to vote. Go ahead and get out and vote. It is your right as a citizen of the United States of America to go out and vote. And while you're at it, if you just happen to pull the little lever beside the Republican, that'll make the doctor pretty happy. Little political commentary there from your friendly conservative doctor. There you go. Well, for those of you that aren't of that persuasion, don't beat on me, don't shoot me. It's a free country after all. There you go. All right, well, I guess we're just about done here. We're going to slide on out. Remember, until next time, the doctor is so out of here.